Well, good morning, everybody. I'm going to call us to order for the Board of Directors Public Engagement Committee. The day is October 19th, 2018. Roll call, please.
On the roll for the Public Engagement Committee meeting of October 19th, 2018.
You're trying to move us to next month.
Director Barrett.
Here.
Director Bowders. Director Canepa.
Here.
Director Haggerty. Director Kim. Director Niss.
Here.
Director Miley, Director Sanchez.
Here.
Director Sparing, Committee Vice Chair Ross.
Yes.
Committee Chair Wagon Connect.
Yes, here.
Board Chair Hudson, we have a quorum.
Good. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You say the words indivisible, and you keep wondering if that's truly possible at this point. Public comment. Is there anybody here for public comment? Marcy's shaking her head. I don't see anybody moving, so we'll move on. Close public comment. Approval of the minutes from April 2nd. Can I get a motion?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Any abstentions? I knew there was going to be some. From April 2nd, some of us weren't even born then. Why are you all looking at me? Item number four, update of the 2018-19 Winter Spare the Air Season Outreach Program. Ms. Pisano.
Good morning, Chair Wagon Connect. I know that we gave you a brief overview of the Winter Spare the Air Program at Wednesday's board meeting. This presentation was intended to give you a little bit more detail about a couple of the elements that we think are very important for the Winter Spare the Air Program, to actually show you the commercial, because we've got that we'll be running, because we've got a different focus this year, and just make sure that you're fully updated with what's happening and the outreach that will be going on throughout the year. So Christine Rosellis, our communications manager, will give that presentation to you.
Good morning, Chair Wagon Connect and members of the Public Engagement Committee. As Lisa mentioned, she presented an overview of the Winter Spare the Air advertising campaign on Wednesday. This morning, I will present a more in-depth overview of the outreach that's planned for the upcoming 2018-2019 Winter Spare the Air season. We're currently finishing or finalizing our advertising and outreach mediums and locations for the upcoming winter season. Here you see a map of our advertising and outreach from last year, and this is an example. Our advertising outreach will continue to be diverse and geographically broad this year. This winter we'll do door-to-door outreach and bike outreach, as well as advertising throughout the region. We'll focus our messaging on indoor pollution and its impact on our families. Wood smoke pollution will continue to be tied to cigarette smoke because it's a clear and powerful message about the health impacts of burning wood. I'd like to show you our commercial that we'll be running this winter, and it has that indoor message.
You know, there's no denying it's unhealthy. It makes you cough and hurt your lungs. Burning wood in your fireplace pollutes the air outside and inside your home. Safeguard your family's health this winter. If your home is smoking, it's time to quit. It's your air. Protect it. Learn more? Visit sparetheair.org.
The dog's name is Lulu, by the way.
John wants the music intro for his ringtone he was saying at the beginning.
Please.
Our door-to-door outreach is a powerful tool for informing residents about the health impacts of wood smoke and our regulation. When we determine locations, we first look at cities that have a high number of complaints. The complaints are mapped, and then we use this as a starting point. We then work closely with our inspectors to determine the specific neighborhoods with a lot of fireplaces and wood burnings in those high complaint areas. We ensure the neighborhoods are safe, walkable, and that they have any necessary permits needed to canvass the area. On the map here, you see all the neighborhoods that we've either done door-to-door outreach in or we've left door hangers for since 2008 when the rule was passed. This is a great opportunity for us to answer questions and provide information directly to residents. We also have a canvassing company that puts door hangers with our survey and program information in neighborhoods that don't meet the criteria for door-to-door outreach. These neighborhoods may be in hilly areas, not have sidewalks, or their city just doesn't allow this type of outreach. Door hangers are an inexpensive way to reach high complaint areas where door-to-door outreach is not feasible. This year we're doing door-to-door outreach in the five cities that you see here: Fremont, Redwood City, Concord, Novato, and Santa Rosa. We have had board members in the past come with us for this outreach, and we will, of course, extend that invitation again. For door hangers, we're targeting Antioch, Oakland, Vallejo, and the Willow Glen neighborhood in San Jose. And they will also get the survey that you see here on the door hanger, and it also has information about the program and how to sign up for alerts. Those that fill out this survey get a $5 gift card to either Pete's or Safeway. We also interact directly with the public about Winter Spare the Air through our boothing at community events throughout the region. This is our current list of events, and we're continuing to add to this for the winter months. These photos you see here were from last weekend at the Half Moon Bay Art and Pumpkin Festival. Community event participation gives us the opportunity to answer questions about the program, provide information about our change-out program when that's in force, and also talk to the public about the health impacts of wood smoke. To extend our outreach even further, we have Craig the Bike Guy and his team do outreach on recumbent bikes during the winter. Our bike outreach is featured at farmers markets and community events in 35 locations throughout the region. Bike outreach is a fun and friendly way to get our message out to the public. The public really enjoys interacting with the riders and asking questions about the program. Riders carry information with them that can be handed out. They're approachable for those who have comments or questions as well. Like the door-to-door outreach and the events that we booth, this helps us put a friendly face to the Air District, and interactions have been overwhelmingly positive. In fact, people love to get their pictures taken with the riders, and then they are posting them on social media and tagging us, which is further expanding our message. And this allows us to really engage with the public directly on social in an informative and positive way. So this concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Just a couple, and I appreciate Mr. Bowder, you're wanting to
go for it.
Ask. Yeah, I'm just getting a sense of where we are. I looked at the printout of our walking piece, and when Lisa and I were sitting there, I couldn't read it because I didn't have my glasses on. It is a little small for.
It is, and that's printed
pedestrian.
And scaled on that sheet, so it is bigger.
Okay, good. I was hoping so. And can't we pay for the return mail?
We can look into that certainly.
We can address those. The thing is that we don't want to put the postage out there on all of those. We have to actually buy the stamp. So we can certainly look into that and see if that's doable, so it's cost effective for us.
If it's just on the ones that get returned, I don't mind paying for that. But if we're paying for 10,000 and we get 400 return, then it's not worth it. But
right. We'll look into that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Browder.
Thank you. I just have a few questions. The door hangers, if the cities that you mentioned, is that the exclusive list that's available to have door hangers? Is it possible to expand that?
We could expand that, certainly.
So do you want to extend to your city? Is that what you're...
I would volunteer to walk the West Oakland and Emeryville. I walk it all the time, and there's about 700 single-family craftsman homes in Emeryville, and there's about 1,500 in West Oakland, and I walk my dog an hour every morning. I'm happy to just take 100 a morning and just walk them, so...
We can get those printed and look into that. That would be great to add that to our list.
Okay, that's my first question. My other question is about the bike messengers. I love this idea, and I was looking at the map, which I think you said was from last year's activities. And
it
so,
is.
Like the North and West Oakland communities have a large number of people who walk or outside who would be most, you know, able to absorb that messaging as opposed to someone in a car. And so I'm just wondering, how do we select the communities that we do bike messaging in? So.
We find a geographically diverse area. We try to get areas where it's harder to reach for other outreach methods. And then we're at community events in those areas. So these are densely populated small spaces, you know, blocks, several blocks usually. And we're going through those areas, riding through those areas, and talking to hundreds or thousands of people that go to those events.
Okay.
So, for instance, we would do this at farmers markets where there's, you know, a large group of people that are gathering, and then they would ride around through there and be talking to people. So we're selecting events. It's not as if our bike messenger or our bike rider is just riding through neighborhoods.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Good. Mr. Kim.
Thank you. I'm guessing you guys use O'Rourke because... I've used them in the past, and they're big on those bicycles with the billboards. Is that an industry thing, or is that an O'Rourke thing?
We have used O'Rourke in the past. We're working with Prozio and O'Rourke right now to execute the bike messenger outreach.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, people do really take notice of those things. Question about the door hangers, because I think people are going to send them in once they realize they get a gift card. So it's sort of following on what Director Batters said is it really inexpensive? Because obviously you feel like you have the budget. Could this be expanded? And if so, I think you'd get great response.
We can expand it. We'll have to look at our budget. It is a great way to get that message out, and we'll be doing that after the election, of course, because they're all tied up with campaigning right now. But yes, we can definitely do that.
So are many of us. So.
Right. So, well, aside from this guy who's going to walk neighborhoods, I assume that you hire a contractor to do that. It's not like district staff doing it.
No, it's district
staff.
For
door-to-door,
staff.
For door-to-door
people.
Outreach, we hire a we do that internally, but for canvassing, for door hangers, that is an external contractor.
We have a team of staff that meet with the contractor. The contractor coordinates it, but we've got internal staff that actually walk the neighborhoods, which is why it's so important for us to select neighborhoods that are easily walkable, that have sidewalks, there's safety concerns. And then we're also looking for the neighborhoods. I'm going to stress what Christine mentioned earlier, where we know we get a large number of complaints, or we know that a lot of wood burning occurs, and we get that information from our enforcement team. So that's how the neighborhoods are selected. It's a fairly robust kind of program that we do, and it's very effective when we're actually at the door talking to residents. It seems like we have a lot more, they listen to us and understand it better, the wood burning program, when we do that. And so it's really quite effective, but it's somewhat labor and time intensive.
Good. Director Niss.
So, just one observation. Willow Glen and San Jose, why Willow Glen in particular?
We've had a high number of complaints in that area, and San Jose does not allow the door-to-door canvassing. So, we've not been able to get permits there for that. So we are looking at doing door hangers there, and we will look at other neighborhoods in San Jose for this as well.
The other reason for Willow Glen is it is an older neighborhood, so there's a lot of homes that still have fireplaces that are still being used. So
that's probably the best explanation, because that area kind of surprises me that area has that issue. But I want to talk about stamps for a minute. So when I was a county supervisor, we had a big discussion at first about vote by mail, and then it continued on. The way we get absolutely the best return is when you put stamps on the envelopes. Mm-hmm. And here is part of it. I've discovered that my grandkids don't know what stamps are. I'm not kidding. It just is like, what is that? It's kind of like, what's a newspaper? Because it is actually a generational kind of thing. And I would guess that a lot of kids, late teens, early 20s, haven't sent anything with a stamp, maybe ever, because it's all done with their device. So if we want a serious return, and I don't know, what return do you anticipate, by the way?
We generally get about, I would say, 10% returned.
From a door hanger?
From door hangers, and we also hand them out from the door to door. So there's
10% even with a $5 certificate.
Yes.
Double the certificate.
So have you looked? I mean, it begs the question: is it successful?
We think it is successful, and from the information that's provided to us, 10% return is actually very good. So oftentimes, when people do these kinds of things, the percentage of return is quite less. It's quite a bit less, like, you know, in the single digits. So the fact that we get 10% return, we feel quite good that's what we're getting back.
So how many is 10% return? How many are you getting out there, and what are the numbers you're dealing with?
We were getting back around 400 per season, and we're putting out close to 4,000 or 5,000.
So I hope you'll do the math on the stamps, because if you really want to return, at least our experience, I don't know what yours would be, our experience was that it upped the ante a lot, because there was always a discussion about how much postage you put on and so forth. I know you may think I'm kidding about it, but most of that late teen, early 20s literally doesn't even know what a stamp costs. Do some research on it. It's fascinating. maybe we don't even know what a stamp costs anymore. I mean, it's really an odd thing. But, you know, certainly in my mother's day, everybody wrote a letter, had a stamp, and now it's kind of gone by the wayside.
Yeah, we've looked into that, and we will again. We've kind of toyed with the cost difference between just getting a bulk stamp that you put on there that you only pay for if it gets returned, versus an actual stamp that you're paying for regardless of whether it gets returned. Yeah. So it's kind of the cost benefit, and we will weigh that and look into it.
Okay, let us know, would you, where you come out with that, because I think that's the significant part of it.
Yep, we can do that.
Thanks.
Good. Director Canepa. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you, Director Canepa?
Doing very well, thank you.
He didn't
quick
get
question,
here early to be able to say
quick,
that. So.
Quick question for you. Thanks for sort of going all over sort of the different methods. Is TV still the best buy? And I'm just curious to what you're doing around TV, because my understanding is, you know, there's all this sort of these different methods of outreach, and they're all important. They're all, when they work together, they work well. But how's TV working for you? I would assume that the reach is pretty big, right?
So we have seen TV, it's slightly going down, but the reality is when we make ad purchases that are around major TV events, we still see that TV is a strong workhorse for us, and I know that seems a little odd in this, you know, sort of era of YouTube and watching online and watching whenever you want, but we are finding ways where TV is still effective for us. In fact, we're buying on a lot of those social sites where we have, where you're getting video, and we're also making purchases where you can, when people are going on and picking these programs on demand, we're coming out that way as well. But the major college sporting events, the major regional sporting events, some major holiday programming, that generally still garners good viewership, and so we are very choosy on where we put our TV dollars.
Good. I love TV. I think TV is a great platform. What do you do in terms of a buy, a TV buy? Yeah, what is the district budget around?
Oh, how much?
Yeah.
It's broken into several different pieces. Christine, you want
to? It is. It's probably close to $300,000, which is a big chunk of our advertising buy.
Great. Thanks.
Good. Director Barrett.
I want to get back to the door-to-door work. I do think that that's very effective and am doing that right now. But something I would recommend that has been really working well is either a T-shirt or a vest or something that very clearly identifies the person at the door as an Air District, or like something like Spare the Air.
Good idea.
Not just Air District, but something that actually says why we're here.
So the door-to-door teams go out in the, they generally go out in the white shirts with the Winter Spear of the Air logo on them. So we outfit them in something.
Okay, but the people in the photo that you're seeing right there?
Right.
Even if they have that T-shirt on, it's not visible.
It's because of the, yeah, because of the coat. Right.
So I'm just saying something that's really visible really does get people to open the door to you. And the other thing is that when people aren't home, a lot of people now have Ring doorbells, and you can actually leave your message on that. You know, you can talk to it as though it's a real person there.
Right.
And that is just the same as seeing them. And I know that that is actually effective because I'm getting responses and results from that right now.
We can certainly provide that input on the Ring doorbells. And then I also wanted to add that we encourage employees to bring business cards with them. We have been asked for them on a number of occasions, so we can provide that so they know we are who we say we are.
Yes, but it just helps when they're deciding whether or not to open the door, if they can actually see, because they have those little things they can see through, that you are, you know, there for this reason.
We have ordered a number of Air District jackets as well, so we can use those. I think that'll be helpful.
Yeah.
Big, thank you.
Big logo. Big.
Director Ross.
Thank you. First, don't execute the bike messenger.
Don't execute what?
The bike messenger. You said, shooting the messenger never works.
Yes.
It does too.
It feels good, but it doesn't really work. The second is you might want to check in the business reply rate on the cards. You can get down to 8-9 cents plus the postage. It almost makes it to the point where for the amount of mail we could do, it would be surprisingly cheap and effective. But that's down the road. The other is how many people in the room are on Nextdoor?
Not proudly.
I don't say that you engage in the robust discussions about, you know, Fluffy the cat down the street.
Or I smell smoke.
Yeah.
So does everybody else.
There's a helicopter coming over my head.
But I find that it's not cheap. It's not cheap. I'm on it. I pay $300 a month. But I find that I actually get enough to say it's worth it.
You advertise?
Yeah, I have my smiling mug sponsoring the real estate section. But it seems to be a lot more widespread than I ever thought it would be.
We're trying to get an agency account with Nextdoor. We have been unsuccessful in that thus far. They don't want to do multi-county regions. So we are also contacting counties about utilizing their Nextdoor accounts to get our message out.
Yeah, or, you know, if you need, let me know. I'd be happy to. And you can threaten them if they don't want to play ball that I'll withdraw my account.
Yeah, that'll do it. Scare them right up.
Mr. Chair, real quick, I have a question for you. I like what Liz Ness said. I think stamps are important. But, you know, door-to-door, I've had door-to-door interaction. 99.9% of it is very pleasant. There can be some doors you knock, and they're not very nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My concern is sort of twofold. My concern is, has any of those incidents occurred at the door where people have not been friendly? Has staff been threatened? Secondly, where my concern lies is, who's paying for the staffing? I'm hoping they're not getting overtime, or are they getting overtime? Is that having a drain on our budget?
So this is part of it. It does come out of our overtime, but it's part of what we've budget into our promotional budget each year. It's district staff, and so they go out and do this. And to get to your point about people who are unpleasant, I've actually walked the door-to-door and done this before. And you're right, 99% of the people are very nice, very pleasant, and they're happy to talk to us, even if they disagree with us. We have had some angry residents, but we've never had serious threats that we've been concerned about. And part of that is because is the neighborhoods that we're selecting. We're being very careful about what neighborhoods we select. The other thing is that we send our people out in teams, and then we have an someone who's managing that team, so they've got to check, so they're checking back in. And we're doing it like on Saturday mornings in daylight hours. So, I mean, we're choosing the time of day safety as a safety issue. We're looking at the neighborhoods and making sure that that's a safety issue, that we're taking safety into consideration. So all of those things are part of what we're thinking about when we're doing this.
No, and I understand, and you could see, Mr. Chair, why I like TV so much, and, you know, to see that the budget is there. But one of my things that I worry about is, what happens if someone gets hurt at the door? Who's liable? I mean, what? Just curious. How does that, Mr. Broadbent? How does that work out?
No, Director Canepa, it's a great point. And they are district staff, and they're on district time, so they're covered by us.
Yeah.
And we have insurance with us. And it's also, I believe, Lisa, we ask for volunteers, if I recall, for the OT.
We do ask for volunteers, and they go through a bit of training, and we talk to them about these things. And these are generally people also who have worked our public events. We get nasty people at our public events when we go to fairs and festivals as well. I mean, we've had people come up to our booths and yell at us before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but our staff is trained on how to deal with that, how to communicate with the people, how to disengage. And so we're making sure that we're using those staff who have been trained
exactly.
in the past.
And also, I just want to add one thing, is that that's why a lot of these cities and counties have requirements. We let the police know that we're in the area so they can respond quickly. So that's another thing that we look out for, and that's we fulfill all those requirements.
I just want to protect our employees. You know, I just don't want something to happen. Sorry.
Director Haggerty.
Thank you. And I apologize for being late. And so if you've already covered this, just say we already covered it, and I have a staff member here who can tell me the answers to the question. But when we're talking about the media used, do you use pop-up ads?
That may be a part of the buy. Those are kind of used less and less, but
really?
We're doing a lot of Facebook advertising. We're doing advertising on a lot of different local media outlets as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised to hear you say that it's kind of going away, because in the political world, it's being used heavily. And
I have blockers, so.
Yeah, well, that's not the case for a lot of people, and it is a pretty good way to get the message out. We've seen it work successfully.
We will look into that, and we have. One of the things that we have to weigh when we look at that is when the click-through rate is, like how quickly when it pops up you can click out of it to get something else. And so we're weighing that with all of these online media kind of buys that we're doing, and what's the most effective way for us to reach people.
Okay, and then the door-to-door outreach, as I understand it, you're doing those areas because they're hard-to-reach areas? Or that's what somebody reached.
No, door-to-door is selected based on complaint data and violation data. So we work very closely with our compliance and enforcement team to figure out where we're getting a lot of complaints, where we know we have a lot of wood burning, and also from what our patrols tell us, where they see there's a great deal of wood burning. Then we factor that in with cities that we can actually, that are walkable, neighborhoods that are walkable and safe, that have sidewalks. and cities that allow us to actually go in and do door-to-door. We have to request permits to do this work, and some cities won't allow it at all. So there's a variety of factors that go into what cities are selected.
But to clarify, the door hangers are where you can't reach. That's what I was saying to you.
Yeah. Where you can't what?
Where you can't access. The door hangers are for where you can't access. There's a door-to-door, which is a survey. The door hanger is a left-behind area where there's no sidewalks or there's no access generally. That's what the door hanger is for. It's separate.
That's our contractor.
So are you – do you do – are you – you must be doing outreach into – wood smoke areas, correct?
We're going into areas where we have heavy wood smoke complaints, and where our patrols have seen we have a lot of wood smoke. We have a lot of wood burning in the area in the winter months.
I mean, I saw that in the presentation, but I wasn't sure what all the different colored icons meant.
Those are all the locations that we've done over the 10 years that we've been doing the door-to-door outreach.
The different colors are different years?
Different years, yes. We've tried to go and make sure that we're covering the Bay Area. We can't do all the cities. There's 101 cities in the Bay Area, and we can't do all of them in 1 year. So we're trying to kind of go through and systematically make sure that we're hitting as many as we can in areas where we know there's wood burning and we know we get a high number of complaints.
So what is the lavender and blue with a dot? What years are those? And I may be colorblind.
No, you're...
So what year is lavender?
I don't have that with me right now, but this is a spread over the 10 years that we've done, and then we've also got this winter mapped out on here as well.
So what about the maybe Tiffany color with the blue? Or with the dot.
Maybe you can send this map with the key.
We can pull.
I'm trying to figure out if we've been in Livermore lately.
We can pull that. I don't know if we've done Livermore lately, but if we, I think we did door hangers 1 year.
I believe we did Livermore in 2014, 2015.
Okay, thank you. Director Batters.
Thank you. Just a couple more questions. One, the data based on the areas you select to do this, are you aggregating the data by zip code? How are you deciphering the responses? Because it would be interesting to me to see if there's a difference between the responses you get in Marin County versus, you know, South County and Alameda. So I'm just curious, is this, you get 400 surveys back, are you just compiling the data just to see how generally that people respond in the Bay Area, or are you disaggregating it by zip code or region?
We look at the data closely to see what it's telling us, and we use that and we compare that also with the data we get from our True North surveys that we do throughout the year as well, the season as well. So we're looking at kind of what the public's response is overall to this program. The True North surveys have a lot more information that we're gathering when we're calling people. This is a 5-question survey, so it gives us just kind of a snapshot of what people are doing or what their behavior is. But we get much richer data from our telephone surveys, direct dial telephone surveys.
Okay, and then following up on the comment about selecting neighborhoods carefully, I'm complete agreement on ensuring the safety of all people doing door-to-door work, whether that be an employee or a contract person. I just would like to hear, though, how we distinguish between what we determine to be a safe or not safe neighborhood, only because living on the border of West Oakland, which is where most people would say it's not a safe neighborhood, is also one of the most heavily impacted communities. So I just want to make sure we're not boxing out or not reaching out to communities that do need to be reached out to.
Yeah, we are extremely careful about neighborhoods. You know, we have a lot of experience from our complaint data, both for wood smoke and for normal air pollution complaints. So we do have an idea of what's safe, what's not. There's individual homes that we also know about. You know, we can get down to the individuals where this person is just not somebody we want to interact with. So we do pass that information on also. So we try to be extremely careful in how we do this and ensure the safety of our people. So if there's a question, I think we shouldn't do it, and we don't, just for that reason.
Okay. That's my questions. Thank you.
Director Kim, did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This really is a good program. A couple things. When we had O'Rourke do a similar door hangers, we really pumped up the font on get a gift card. And so I sort of had to look, and like, I'm not a PR expert, but I would just say make it bigger and you'll get a bit better response. Because Director
Wagon.
Our Petaluma.
Barrett.
Director Barrett. I'm sorry, Teresa. Director Barrett triggered a memory because it is campaign season and there's a lot of canvassing going on. I totally agree that having a T-shirt or a hat that says Air District, you'll get a lot more people opening their doors. That's just what we know from walking precincts. The other thing, and I think you know this, is when you say door to door, you're not literally going to every house, right? When we will precinct walk, we're looking for the high propensity places. So I assume, Christine, you look at the older houses with wood chimneys.
Well, we select a neighborhood with 300 to 400 homes, and we use all the criteria I talked about earlier with the older homes that have fireplaces that are walkable and safe. And we do knock on all of those doors in that neighborhood of 300 to 400 homes.
Even if it's like a new home that clearly doesn't have a wood fireplace?
If we don't see a chimney, we will skip that house. But usually in those types of neighborhoods, there's not very many of those that, you know, have been changed out.
We're really focusing on older neighborhoods where we know we see chimneys. And even if they don't have chimneys, often they have like chimeneas in the backyard, and we wouldn't know. But we also make note. We have someone there who talks to the resident, and we also have someone who kind of takes notes of what they see. Do they see the chimney? Is there wood stacked up on the side of the house that is visible? I mean, so we take note of all those things, and we kind of keep that data as well.
That's great. Did you say chimenea?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That was a good
one. What's that?
Yeah.
A chimney is those little clay pots outside that you can put wood in your backyard.
Yes, we are.
So a chimney, they're little.
Learn with a stamp.
He's from San Francisco.
Pots.
Come on.
And people put them in their backyards for outdoor burning, and they sit around and they create little outdoor seeing spaces with those.
Yeah. I have Director Sanchez before we get down to the rat hole of the chimenea.
you're not on there. This door-to-door approach and the hangar approach are complaints-based. Are you? So I'm assuming there are no complaints from Suzhou City?
It's not just complaint-based. It's where we're seeing complaints, where we also see high levels of wood smoke, where we have been or haven't been before. So if we have not been to Sassoon yet, and I'm not sure that we haven't, because I thought we might have years ago.
Doesn't say
it was not in the top 15 that we looked at this year.
Well, I'm not surprised because over my 24 years in the council, we have an average of two or three people showing up during council meetings. So as to the door-to-door, I have heard from all my colleagues, and I can assure you it's real fun. Last week, I was dropping off flyers, and I was chased by the homeowner seven houses down. She courteously handed me back my flyer, saying, "Mayor Sanchez, I have never voted for you, and I never will, because in 1997, you tried to put that poison fluoride on my drinking water." That was her.
Some residents have long memories.
Yeah.
Does she have less cavities?
So I felt like saying, well, I felt like saying that's the reason why I won all those 24 years. You never voted for me, but I did not say that. As to wearing hats and T-shirts, I don't know how effective that would be. I wear my mayor hat and I wear my Mayor Sanchez T-shirt, and depending on the inclination of the homeowner, they will never open their door to me once in a while. but I am glad that 80% of them would offer me coffee or even lunch. So instead of losing weight, I'm gaining weight from my 4 weeks of door-to-door.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I realize what I want to be able to do is part of our outreach effort includes our wood stove change-out program as well. And I did want to just provide you with a little information. I've asked Karen Skolnick to be here too. For this fiscal year, we did set aside $1 million for being able to go back out and provide incentives for residents to avail themselves of either inserts or other types of efforts. I just wanted to provide you with just a real quick snapshot, have Karen do that, our Director of Strategic Incentives. Karen, can you give a little bit of a sense? Because we have, I know, sure. Money left over from last year that we're working through as well.
That's right, Jack. Thank you. Yeah, as Jack mentioned, you may recall that the board set aside $3 million back in late 2016. We opened, and in the first round, we were able to award nearly $2 million of that. We've been working to award the remaining funds. We have a little bit more than half of that that has been either spent out or is encumbered in projects that are currently underway. We have about 200 projects that are currently open and active, and about another 100 that have been closed out through this last round. So as Jack mentioned, the next steps really are to complete this round of wood smoke changeouts. We do provide funding. There's a base amount of funding that varies depending on what kind of project is done, with additional funding that is provided to low-income residents and also residents that are in high wood smoke areas. So we are trying to prioritize funding for those areas, but we also do make funding available to any resident that qualifies that's in a care area as well. So in terms of next steps, as Jack mentioned, there's $1 million in addition to whatever funds fall out of this year's program. So in terms of next steps, we will be evaluating the program, looking at what worked. We would like to conduct a survey of folks that have participated in the program or that have even canceled their program. Project, we do have a fairly high fallout rate, and there was some discussion about that at the board meeting the other day, and typically that's because either the costs are too high for individuals to do, they aren't able to get a contractor because we typically run these programs in the winter, which we're learning isn't the best time to do it because contractors are already busy doing work. So we want to kind of take all of these lessons learned and then bring some recommendations to the executive committee either later this year or very early next year so that we can take the funds and develop a very successful program for our next round. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
So we were, Mr. Chairman, excuse me, we were just to emphasize that. We typically don't come back to this committee. We go to the executive committee for all that because it's both stationary source plus also kind of a budgetary item. So it
our focus is the outreach part of this.
It's a little connected, though, because we oftentimes get a lot of questions when we're out there in terms of the outreach. Don't you have money available for us, that kind of thing. So that's why we wanted to just give you an update.
Something that we did in the Knapp area that helped with sidewalks is we were trying to do sidewalks around, and we got a crew that did that, and they could charge part, and have we thought of having a crew of folks that we can just do the change out, that our crew would just do the change out and it would just go through that way, and they don't have, it's kind of a standard product, but it would be more predictable and cheaper for the potentially cheaper for the individuals.
Yeah, well, that's I know that we did work very closely with Marin County, for example, in this current and prior round, and so I think as part of our evaluation and taking a look at this, it would be great to connect with someone from your team to learn about this to see if this is something that we could do. We really are very interested in all different kinds of ways to make this a more successful program.
The more we can
get
turned out, the better it'll be. Other questions at this point? I really do. I like that we have people out in the ground. It's two parts. It's return information back to us, and that's important. You don't get that a lot of other ways, and we get eyes and ears out there in the community, and we get to see, how we're affecting people at that point. So, thank you. I'm gonna move past item number five, the Bay Area Air Quality Management District Air History Display Tour, and just kind of close out this meeting. Go through and close out this meeting, and so we can do the tour and not have to come back here at the end. And so something to look forward to. We're going to go up to the sixth floor and do a field trip.
So is that all right with everybody?
Sure.
I don't think we're going to have that.
I was just going to show you one slide that basically shows what we were going to take a look at and talk to you about this a little bit, and then you can close up the meeting.
Let's close off the rest of the meeting, and then you can do that just before we head up.
Okay.
Any public comment at this point? No more cards. Committee member comments? Okay, there we are. We're set. Show us.
She's going to bring it up. So about a year ago, we got on a path to put together a history display of the Air District and our where we've come from 1955 to now. We have actually just recently got that installed on the sixth floor. And you can see up here, here's a view of it. But we're going to take you up there because I think it's much more impressive when you see it in person. We have three walls and three pillars that we have put our history information on. We also have three monitors with videos that are either videos of photographs or old videos of the Air District or our current Spare the Air, Cool the Climate video. And then we have a lighted case that you can see in there where we've got old artifacts, air quality artifacts that we have used in the past or that staff had actually built to test air quality when there wasn't anything else available. And so it's actually a really interesting display of the Air District and where we have come. So we'd like to take you up at this point and let you see it yourself, walk through it. It starts on this first wall here. You go basically from the past and you walk through to where we are in the future and come around and see where we are with the Spare the Air, Cool the Climate, the Clean Air Plan, and sort of our focus for the future.
And Mr. Chairman, so this idea, we all kind of collectively came to this idea largely when we moved into this building. Because, as you know, the Air District has a long history, being one of the oldest local air pollution control organizations in the country, and we just didn't want to lose that history. And so I want to take this opportunity, before you get up there, just to let you know that I think Lisa's done a great job on this. This is one of the things that she has been shepherding and managing to get done, and it all came together during the middle of the climate conference. So she was truly managing many, many different many plates in the air, if you will, all at the same time. So I hope you'll find it to be not only informative, but impressed by the overall message that it's providing with regard to not only this organization about what's been accomplished, but also where we're going. You'll see that up there.
Director Hager, you had a question?
Yeah, this looks really awesome and reminds me of the thought that I had many years ago about having the trailer that we could take around. And we kind of died on that. That was to go around to the schools and teach them about air quality and have little projects and stuff like that. I really wish we'd get back to that. But on this display here, from what I can see without being there, this looks awesome. But it begs the question, why is it on the sixth floor? It should have been down here in our lobby. I mean, we pay rent here, and we should be able to have it down here so the public can really see it.
No, it's a great point, Dr. Haggerty. And then also, as part of that, the video display that you have here in the lobby, sometimes it does run some air quality information.
Yeah, I mean, usually it's old streets of San Francisco, which is great. But, is there a way that it could be transferred down to the lobby?
There might be parts of that could actually go onto the display wall.
So one of the issues is that we need to work through the condo association to make that happen. And so they're, I know. And it was, and we had to go through them even to get this space decorated and put the information up. So the building, from what we are told, is planning some other installations for the open space that they have remaining in the lobby, and then they're also still talking about doing a build out in that space that's just down on this other side, which will also probably take up some of that wall space now. So it's unclear what space might be available on a permanent basis for this kind of installation, but I hear you. We would like the maximum amount of the public to see this, but we want to take people when they come up to visit us or we have meetings, they can tour this. And it's outside the main boardroom where we would have the most meetings where we would invite public when they're here for other for Air District business. So they'll get an opportunity to see it. It's just not, they can't walk in off the street to see it.
But it would seem like, you know, following up on Director Haggerty's.
Which I wasn't done, but go ahead.
I will.
You are the chairman. Go ahead.
Thank you. It does seem like that's a good plan to try to, even if it's rotating between MTC and ABAG and the BCDC, having displays, it would be more available downstairs.
I think MTC and ABAG was very impressed when they saw this, and I think that if we were to do something collectively together, they probably would be on board, because this was beyond what they were thinking we might be doing, and they were quite impressed with it. So right. I think that this opens the door to something else. So,
Director Haggerty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I get it that people coming to see the Air District will be able to see it because they're on the sixth floor. But, you know, there's a lot of people that utilize this building that maybe don't know much about the Air District at all. Yeah. And for them to be able to pause and look at this and get a better understanding. So, you know, I'm not trying to disparage staff in any way. I think this is a great project. But I just hope that at some point this can get down to a more visible area in this building.
I agree with you 100%.
Okay. I mean, take all of our pictures down and put it up there.
I've got a quick question, Mr. Chair. Our representative on the condo association, that's Jack, or is it Brian?
No, it's me.
Oh, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how many partners do we have?
Only me and Steve.
We lost one.
Oh, so it's only you and Steve.
Yeah, there used to be three of us.
I'm sure you're a pretty powerful man. Yeah, you're pretty powerful. Pretty powerful. I'm sure you'll find a way to, I hope, accommodate the board's direction on that, I would assume,
I'll
right?
Take this back. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
And when Steve retires, are you the only member then, Jack? Because then you can get your way.
Presumably that his replacement will be on there, right? So
Director Barrett.
Yeah. Following up on this, I do agree that this needs to be before more eyes. And there's a lot of, the libraries in our area have rotating and visiting displays.
Yeah.
And this might be a nice thing, even if you had to condense it or split it among different branches. You could rotate it between them. It would see a lot more eyes.
I agree. I have wanted to put something like this, or maybe something a little bit different than this, for years, to take out to our fairs and festivals to have. But it would have to be lightweight, easy to put together. I can tell you we combed through thousands and thousands of photographs to pull what we have here, pulling old information. This was somewhat of a Herculean effort to get this information together. And it was kind of the first try at what is the best representation of the Air District. But it would be, I agree with you, Director Barrett, we would like to put something together that we can put in libraries and some of these other rotating displays, because we'd like to get more visibility for the Air District in that way.
Director Ross.
I'm going to echo. I don't think we need an 18-wheeler, as was originally envisioned, but
actually, I think we do.
Well, I'll support a four-wheeler, but some type of van, you know, that actually has measurement devices on it. What, you know, you can walk kids through it that say, here's what the air is right here. This is what we do. This is how we protect the planet. And with the bike rodeos and the community resource teams, there's got to be plenty of events that something like that could be utilized, that this vehicle could be utilized at. And, of course, it would have to be electric and all that. But it's quite an expenditure, but maybe it's something that ought to be considered. And, of course, all of our pictures emblazoned on the side. digitally enhanced.
Good.
With hair and...
And let's go see it. We are adjourned as this configuration. We're just going to go up, and I don't see too many strange faces. All seem to be.
Oh, I speak for yourself.
Just the strange faces are up here. We're adjourned.